So on this journey we're on at the moment, we've sold a building. There's more to come, and we don't know exactly, you know, what we're going to. We're starting to look at various sites and buildings and opportunities as a board and as a team. But that's not clear. We've got a good strategy in place and going forward, and we've got some really good strategies in place to make sure that the equity that we have in this building actually continues to grow, that doesn't decrease as a result of what we're doing. So you can rest assured that there's some great work going on there, and we're excited about that. But it is a journey of faith. It would be easy to say, okay, we want to buy this building, so we'll sell ours and do that. But I just really feel that God led us the other way around to step out and trust Him. And maybe there are some things in your life at the moment where there are some things that are not totally sure, but maybe God's actually asking you to take a step forward into something that is slightly unknown and actually leave some of those things behind that are your security. And I'm not talking about, you know, throwing all your money away so you've got no security, but what are those things that are secure in our world that actually stop us going into what is the next thing for us? And often we're in that place, aren't we, where the security's here and there's nothing really wrong with it, but it's a limiting factor to us going forward. Years ago, I heard somebody tell me a story about when he was growing up in Malaysia, and they used to catch monkeys. And the way that they would catch monkeys is they would take a tin, you know, and they'd nail it to a bench or a table somewhere, and they'd put peanuts in the jar or the tin. So the little monkeys would come in, and they would put their hand inside the jar to grab hold of the peanuts or whatever they put in there. And once that monkey got those things in his hand or her hand, they were not... We've got to be, you know. Yeah.
That's a nice save. Good save.
And that monkey, him or her, would not let go for love nor money of that peanut or whatever they had in their hand. And once their fist was clenched, they couldn't get the hand back out of the jar or the tin. So they were easy prey for those that wanted to catch them. And so often in life, we've got things that are perhaps okay, but they're not what God is leading us into. They're all right, but they're not the best. They're all right, but they're not where we've got to be. And because we're holding on to these things, sometimes with clenched fists, it's like, I can't let this go, I can't let this go. We actually don't let it go, and we're not released of where we've been to step in to where we're going. And faith is a lot like that. It says this in Hebrews 11 verse 1, probably one of the most famous descriptions in the Bible of faith, where the writer of the Hebrews really lays it out. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. It's an interesting way to describe it, isn't it? Like faith as a substance. It's not described as a feeling. It's not described as, you know, a way of thinking even. It's actually described as something that's a substance. It's almost like it's tangible. It's something that you can feel. Yeast is also a substance. Most likely, you've got some sitting dormant in your fridge or your cupboard. I know we've got yeast in our fridge, which was there from when we used to do the bread maker, probably years and years ago. I don't know if we've thrown it out yet, but I know that we've had yeast sitting, you know, just there from some time. And yeast is one of those things that most of us like to think that we would use more than we do, because we're gonna bake or we're gonna do something really cool, but it doesn't happen that much. So it sits there dormant in your fridge or your cupboard or wherever it is. And while it sits there, it just sits dormant, doesn't it? It doesn't do anything at all. But you know, as long as that yeast is still alive, and you take that yeast out and you place it in a dough mixture, well, long as there's a little bit of heat and it's all working, well, that yeast starts to multiply. It starts to grow. And what's it called? It actually causes that dough to rise And it's like it increases. It's like it multiplies. But while ever it sits in your cupboard, it remains dormant. But it is actually when it is removed from there and placed in a different environment that it actually grows and it multiplies. Similar to yeast that sits in your cupboard dormant. I think there's a range of substances, and I'm not talking about illicit ones. There's a range of substances that sit in our cupboards and our sheds and places around the house, and they all have different uses and things like that. But you know, we use them for cooking, cleaning, killing weeds, insects. But by and large, most of the time, they are in storage and they lay dormant. Even last Monday, we were about to do some landscaping in the front of our house. And if you've visited the front of our house, you realise it could do with that. If you visit the back of our house, you realise it could also do with that. But we're attacking the front of the house. So last week, I got out a substance. I got out the Roundup, you know, and I mixed it up. And I went round and Alex was saying, "Be careful with that stuff. You know what you like with that stuff." And I just said, "Be quiet or I'll spray you." And you know, and I started spraying the weeds around the edge of the house. And this area that we're going to turn, you know, from what's loosely called lawn into a garden area. But you know what that substance had been sitting in a shelf for ages. Actually, I don't really know how good it was. I'm still waiting to see. But it had been sitting there. But it is when I take it and I mix it with water and I put it in a spray container and I release it onto where it needs to go that it actually steps into action. You see, that's why I think faith is called a substance. Because while it's an idea, while it's a concept, while it's out there, it doesn't do anything at all. But when it is taken and it is placed into the environment that needs to be and it is released, well, then it brings about change to that environment. It's only when things are moved like faith to a different environment that it is enacted for the purpose for which it was designed. James tells us in James, a really famous verse again, he actually says, you know what? Faith without works is dead. In other words, you can have faith as a concept. You can say, "I'm a person of faith," but if that faith isn't released, well, it doesn't matter a dime. One for you, Johnny. It doesn't do anything at all. So I want to talk this morning about how we actually enact our faith. How do we actually enact faith? How do we take faith from being a concept or an idea to actually a substance that is enacted, that permeates every part of our life and our community and makes a difference? Number one, and you're going to love this. Be obedient. Oh.
What's number two?
Moving on. Be obedient. Unfortunately, and we know this to be so true because we have, as you know, a lot of you know, three children under five, that our natural state as human beings is rebellion. We don't actually enjoy obedience very much. We don't enjoy being told that much, do we? There is something about us almost from the moment that we start to develop that we want to say, "Well, you know what? I'm going to be in control of my destiny and I don't need your help, thank you very much, unless I really feel like I need it." And I think most people live in a state of either ambivalence or rebellion. And sometimes rebellion is just because you haven't really got your head around what your rebellion really is, so you live in ambivalence. But if we want to be kingdom people, people that God's called, the hardest choice actually is to move to a place of obedience. Because it actually goes against a lot of our natural feelings and the way that we're wired. So last week or the week before, I talked about Abraham. I want to touch on Abraham again this morning. But when he was called Abram, before God changed his name, he heard from God while he lived in the area that became Babylon. So here he is in the area of Babylon, and he hears from God. Now, interestingly enough, Babylon, when you read it throughout the Bible, has quite a strong significance. The word Babylon actually is very symbolic of man's rebellion. It is actually very symbolic of everything that men and women and people do in of themselves and wanting to keep God out of that. That's what Babylon means. It's a place of rebellion against God, and it is opposition against the kingdom of God. So you actually find, as you start to study Babylon, that very early, right from the Tower of Babel days, that the kings and the people that were in that place always wanted to actually do something to the land that God had promised as his land and his future to his people. So there was this opposition between Babylon and the promises of God. So it's like Babylon is anti the promises of God. So here you've got Abraham living in Babylon. It's ancient days. I don't know what was there. I don't think it was called Babylon then, but it was that area. He was in that place. And God speaks to him. And what's the first thing that he actually says to him? He says, Abraham, I want you to leave. Why would he want him to leave? Because he was in an environment, he was in a place where God couldn't do much with him, because that place was so oppressive, that place was so anti the purposes and the promises of God, that he actually needed him to leave that behind, step out of that place and step into what God had for him and in front of him. And when God asked Abraham to leave, initially he was only partly obedient. Yes, he left, but he took his father Terah with him, and they stopped at a place called Haran. And it's interesting because, you know, in the Old Testament, the names that people have and the names of places and people is very symbolic of what God is trying to say through the Old Testament. And Terah, Abraham's father, means delay. And Haran means parched or barren. So while Abraham was only partially obedient, delay and barrenness characterized his life. He'd left, but he hadn't been completely obedient. You know, God said, leave where you are. He said, you know, get out of Babylon. Leave where you are. And then he actually also said, leave your family. Leave your support networks, leave everything that's there and go. And Abraham left, but he took his father with him. Now that would seem like a fairly reasonable thing to do. And I think as Christians sometimes we can live in delay and barrenness as a result of our partial obedience. See, Abraham's partial obedience did not, though, take away God's promise. Instead, it meant that the promise was on hold until Abraham was ready to do what God had asked him. God's promises haven't been taken away from you, but sometimes I think they're on hold, not because God doesn't want to see those things released in your life, but because we are not in a place to receive them. We haven't left. We're not in that place of full obedience. You see, Abraham became a man of faith and experienced amazing prosperity and blessing, which we actually share in as kingdom people, when he became completely obedient. See, the substance of faith multiplies and grows as it is enacted through obedience. Told you were going to like that.
No, it's really
see, it's true. It works. But it's got a bit of a it with it, hasn't it? See, if you could take a tablet that saved you going to the gym, most of you would take it, wouldn't you? Unless you got right into the gym and you realise how much fun that stuff is. But, you know, initially it's like, if I could just take the tablet and have the results without the pain, well, hey, bring it on. And obedience is a little bit like that. There is blessing, there is release, there is freedom on the other side of your obedience, but it's got a breakthrough factor where you've got to push through. And if we want to be people of faith, if we want to enact our faith, there is a greater level of obedience for all of us, regardless of where we are on that journey. We're all on a journey of releasing more of our life to God. All right, how do we enact our faith? Number two, I think some of you might do, if you're a teenager, you might love this. Leave. Number two, we've got to leave. Genesis 12 verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you." When God spoke to Abraham and asked him to leave, he said, leave the things, the people, and the places that are your security. And he says, look to me for your direction, your security, your significance, and your future. And I think, yes, as a church, we're in a time where we actually need to making sure that we look to God for our security, for our direction, for our significance, and for our future. But for your life right now, wherever you are, the more that you actually look to God for your future, your security, your significance, and your direction, the more he's able to use you. See, in the following verses, God makes some seemingly outrageous promises to Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. You see, the activation of the promise was in the leaving. The activation of the promise was in the leaving. He had to be obedient to leave, and then he had to actually get on his bike and go, and that actually activated the promise. And I just think that there would be promises over your life that you don't even know or even understand or even have it. But you know what? God wants to see them enacted. He actually wants to see them flying out. And they are going to be enacted as we become more obedient and as actually we leave some things behind that are our security, that are holding us where we are. And the enactment of that faith is actually in the leaving. See, I drove this morning across the Tasman Bridge. I had to make a choice to go across the Bowen or the Tasman because part of the Brooker Highway was closed. So anyway, I whizzed up through Lutana. But at some point, I had to make a choice to leave the security of the sunny, beautiful, warm Western Shore. And drive onto a bridge that once fell over to get into the Wild East. I had to leave and put my trust in that bridge to get to this place. Things I go through of a morning, amazing. Galatians 3 verse 9 says, so all who put their faith in Christ share in the same blessings Abraham received because of his faith. Isn't that incredible? A Bible commentator said this. He said, they who are of faith are those whose characteristic is faith. It is not that they sometimes have an impulse to believe, but rather that believing is their constant attitude. Faith is a characteristic of them. And that's what he was saying. Those who share in the blessing of Abraham are those people of faith. In other words, it's not like, oh, I have an impulse to be a person of faith today. It's something that goes deeper. That actually is the very character of who we are. We share in Abraham's promises, in his blessings. Listen to that. What are we sharing? I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Now, that doesn't tell me that you're going to get a Lamborghini or $1 million next week. Maybe you will, but it's not saying that. It's saying that you will be blessed to bless others. That you will share in this amazing release that is a different spirit to what the rest of the world is engaged in. And you will be a blessing to bless others. We share in God's promises and blessing to Abraham. But the activation is in the leaving. What are you prepared to leave to become a blessing to others? See, God wants your life to be great and he wants to bless you. But I think we need to leave some of our old thinking behind. We need to leave old relationships behind. And I'm not saying you need to kick people out or you need to leave your husband or your wife or whatever. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there are times where a relationship is destructive or an element of that needs to be changed. See, there are people in my world now who I still have a relationship with, but I don't have that same level of relationship because I deemed that the relationship at that level wasn't helping me move to what God had for me. In other words, if you get with somebody in a relationship is that you always gossip and you always talk about things and you always pull somebody down, well, the dynamic of that relationship needs to change. In other words, you need to change what that relationship's all about. And you might need to limit the time that you spend or whatever it is. And that was something that was going on with Abraham about his father, where his father had some sort of containment over him. And God said, you know what? He's still your father, but you actually need to leave that part of the relationship and step into what I've called you to do. And for whatever reason, he found that hard, as we do as people, and he took his father with him, and his father still had this influence where he was contained in that place. And it often doesn't even matter whether that person is physically with you. In some cases, it doesn't matter even if they're still alive, that there can be something about that person and what they stood for and your level of relationship and the style of your relationship with them that still wants to contain you and keep you in that place. You see, when you come into the kingdom of God, you are actually set free in Christ. That means you're not contained by those that went before you. You're not contained by the words that have been spoken over you. You're not contained by the spirit that somebody carried. You actually are called to be who God created you to be. You are called to step out into what is in front of you. And that's what Abraham had to do before he actually stepped into the blessing that God had for him. We need to leave old thinking, old relationships, places and things that are secure in a lot of cases, but containing. Sometimes we do not hear from God because we're not in a place to receive what he has to say. And for Abraham, I reckon it was probably more about Abraham than it was his father. The Bible never tells us that his father was bad. There was anything going on there, but there was something that needed to shift in Abraham. It doesn't tell us about what had to go on with his father. It just said Abraham needed to make that shift. We need to leave those things that distract us. We need to leave small thinking. We need to leave spheres of containment. We need to leave, to use a biblical term, we need to leave old wineskins and we need to embrace a new thing. See, what is it? What's an old wineskin? A wineskin, in this case, when Jesus talked about it, was an animal skin that it had wine placed in it. As it fermented, it stretched. And it pretty much stretched as far as it would go. So that got to its limit. It would only contain a certain amount. It couldn't stretch any further. And maybe for us, you know, we're in a place where we're doing okay, but we're not stepping into what's in front of us because we actually need to change the wineskins. In other words, we need to make sure that those things around us, the structure of our thinking and places and relationships, isn't something that actually contains us here, but we need to actually put it out here so that we can grow into that. You see, faith is not just an idea. When you enact faith, you actually you leave things behind. And we've often got to leave old structures and thinking and support networks and things that contain us so that we can actually step in to the new thing that God has for us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So how do we enact that substance? Number three, and this is the last point here this morning, we've got to look to the new. We have to look to the new. And our key verse this year has been Isaiah 43:19. And who's got the new worship EP from our band in there on their devices? You need to get it. And some of it is really inspired by this verse. And it says, in Isaiah 43:19, "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." See, the Lord said to Abraham, Genesis 12:1, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you." So where do you have to go? He didn't say, go over here and you can map your path and you can actually get it all together. He said, no, you've actually got to leave, and then you've actually got to look at what I'm showing you to move into. You see, the thing with our journey with God, one of the things we've actually done as a team and a board is we've done a lot of work over the last sort of 12 months or so on a strategic plan. Who gets excited about strategic plans? About three of you, I know. That's how it is. We've got some people in this team working on the strategic plan that are incredibly excited about it. And everybody else is just doing it because I told them to. Just saying, Chris loves on holidays. But you see, it's wise to have a strategic plan. It's wise to strategize. But we, as a church, don't serve our strategic plan. That's only to help us enact what God has put on us. You see, if the strategic plan becomes God, well, then it's an old wineskin, isn't it? You know, we need to be in a place where we can actually move. You see, God, that's why God said to Abraham, he didn't say, okay, I want you to leave that area that was called Babylon, and I want you to go over to the area that's to be known as Canaan, and I just want you to walk over there. He said, no, it's actually even the journey in many ways was more important than the place. He said, actually, I want you to leave in such a way that you look to me and I am going to show you where to go. And I think as a church in the next season, actually looking to him and him showing us where he wants us to go is even more important than some ways the place. He's actually wanting to get us to a place where we are ready to move, we're ready to listen to what he's saying, and we're moving in to what he has for us in the future. And I reckon that's why some of these other things that we've knocked on doors and things like that haven't materialized. There was nothing wrong with them. They were good strategies. But actually, God wants us to have a faith journey about what we go into next. And he wants you to have a faith journey in the next season of your life. Where, you know what, you're saying, you know what, I'm going to step out of some things. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I am taking a step and I am looking to him for what he has for me in the next season. And, Calvin, I just believe that's a word for you this morning. That there are things at the moment where you're just, you're a bit unsure, and there's a sense where there's he's wanting you to enact a greater level of faith in your life. Where you stuff you're saying, well, is this going to work? You know, could I try this? Could I do that? No, he's saying, you know, you trust me and you look to me and you'll be amazed at what I do. You'll be amazed at what I do. It's not those things that are around you, even those things that you've worked hard for, that you've done such a great job in, they are not going to be your security. They are not going to define you. They are not going to be who he's called you to be. Who he's called you to be are the things that he is speaking into your heart, the things that you carry deep inside, and he actually wants you to take steps as you walk in towards those things. I don't know how much of that makes sense, but I just felt I needed to share that with you right now. And you will be amazed at what a journey of faith actually does in your life and your world. Go to a land I will show you. when we enact our faith, when we look to what God is showing us, we actually find ourselves stepping in to that new thing. Kids, teenagers, adults, and even old people get into trouble when they're bored. Isn't that right, Heather? Heather was a school teacher for a long time. As kingdom people, we get distracted and we start to do things that we weren't called to do when we're bored. And you don't, and I think the boredom I'm talking about is, it's not about not being busy. It's about not having a purpose beyond the mundane. See, all of your lives are probably full. All of your lives are like, oh, I can't fit anything more in, because it's just flat out. You know, we get up, we go to work, we sort the kids out, whatever it is, you know, it's full, it's busy. But who knows that busyness is not fulfillment? Who knows that busyness actually doesn't, you know, get you what you need? But you know what? A faith journey is exciting. A faith journey will keep you focused and engaged. After I had a couple of my bike crashes a few years back, I've got in the habit of every time I get on my push bike, I pray a prayer. And I just ask three things. I say, Lord, keep me alert. Keep me focused. Those are two things I can do. And keep me safe. Stuff that I can't control. You know what I think a faith journey is, you know, before God. Keep me alert. In other words, get my eyes just out of the mundane and onto kingdom thinking and kingdom purposes and what's in front of me. Keep me focused. Keep me focused. Allow me not to be distracted by these things that go on over here. Not to be distracted about some stupid thing that somebody said, or to be distracted about about something that even might be going on in our city. You know, like we've just been through that the whole dark mofo thing, and of course it was confronting for Christians. But hey, it's finished, and we're all still here. And you know, some people might be still all wound up about that, and it becomes a distraction. We've got to be focused on what we're called to do. Some of the social change that we've been through as a nation that more recently has impacted on our traditional thinking as churches. Hey, we're still here. Did it change our calling? No way. Does it mean we don't love people? No. Does it mean that people don't need saving? No. Does it mean that we don't need to step into kingdom purpose? No way whatsoever. You know, those things are always going to go on. We live in a world and a land of distraction. And some of those things, yes, we need to be involved in, but some things we don't need to be involved in, and some things we just don't need to allow them to become distractions so that we don't stop doing what we're called to do. Abraham was counted as righteous because he was a nice bloke. Because he had a good-looking wife. Because he would become the great patriarch. No. The only difference between him and a whole lot of other people around him at that time was his faith. And he enacted it. He was obedient to it. He left. And then he looked to God for a new thing. You know what? This morning, if you're bored, just do those three things for me. Be obedient to some of the things that God's asking you to do. Leave some things behind that are containing you and look to Him for what is next. Why don't we stand? Let's just bow our heads. Close our eyes just for a moment. Hey, Luca, I know I've given you a few words, but I just feel I've got to do it again. God's just speaking to you at the moment, and it really is about that enacting of faith. And I think as you continue to do that, He's shown you some really cool things lately, how He's so interested in your life and what's next. And perhaps there's a couple of things at the moment He's saying, you know what, if you would just let that go, put your security in me, you'll be amazed at what I do. There's some more breakthrough coming as you enact your faith. Ultimately, our faith in God starts with the most simple but profound act of obedience. And that's to acknowledge as a person that you're not complete without a relationship and understanding of who God is and who He created you to be. An understanding of the fact that as people we are all engaged in this thing called sin, which is rebellion against God. Whether you're a bad person by world standards or a relatively good person doesn't sort of make a lot of difference to God, because He's perfection and the rest of us are a long way from it. But to be able to acknowledge that we need Him, to be able to acknowledge that we've been rebellious against Him, is the most profound act of faith that you can engage in. And this morning, if you haven't started the faith journey, I just want to give you an opportunity right now. If you would say, Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe that You came out of the spiritual realm and You came into this world and You put Yourself at the hands of cruel people and You died on a cross to pay the price for my mistakes, my rebellion, my sin. And I thank You for that. And I'm sorry for my part in that. But from this day forward, I want to follow You. And I want You to be in my life, in my world. I thank You that You love me. I think that You love me so much that You're prepared to do that. I thank You that You've got an amazing future for me. If this morning that you know that you've never done that, you've never taking your faith to that level, and you know that you need to do it right now, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and that phone will stop ringing in a minute because it can't ring forever. Was it mine? But let's not be distracted for something really important. If that's you this morning, why not take an act of an obedience, an act of faith? And you know you've never started that faith journey with God. Just why don't you slip up your hand real quick when no one's looking around and say, hey, that's me. Praise God. Praise God. Does anyone else need to do that this morning? Just give me a wave. Say, hey, that's me. I need to do that this morning. Maybe some of you have done that before. Maybe Maybe others have never done that. Just give me, if that's you, just give me a wave. So that's me. Okay. Praise God. Let's pray as people are making decisions here this morning.